All right. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Brent. Thank you, church. Good evening. Welcome. Welcome. Good to have you all out tonight. Those who survived the turkey naps, the turkey weariness that comes. I know what it's like when you get that full belly. It's hard to keep the eyes open afterwards. But I try. Anybody have a meal today, a special meal, or maybe tomorrow? Some have. Yep. We had one yesterday, some today, some tomorrow. We'll all be full of turkey by the time we get to January. And we won't want it again until next September, October, but that's all right. I love turkey dinners. And it's good to be with you here again this evening. Let's open our Bibles up to Matthew chapter 22, please. Matthew chapter 22. We're going to continue to talk about the seven things about love. And I'm not sure how far we're going to get again this evening, but we're not going to rush. We'll just continue to kind of pick away at some of these things. It's such an important topic, how we love others and how we love the Lord God and how we demonstrate the love of the Lord God to others. These are all very, very important things. So there's no point in really kind of rushing through it and assuming we've got that all. I know how to love people, so let's move on to something a little better, a little more important. No, loving others is the most important thing that we can do as believers, I believe, because how we love others is demonstrated in what we do and what we say. For example, now I haven't even prayed yet. I'm already getting into it here. I'm excited about this topic. You know, if I share the gospel with others, it's not done out of a sense of arrogance or pride so I can show off. It's not done out of a sense of self-righteousness. I want to just, you know, beat my Bible over the head of other people to make them feel worse than they are, or to try to feel like I'm better than others. When I share the gospel with other people, it's not even out of a sense of duty that you should do this, it's the right thing to do, even though it is the right thing to do. But ultimately, when I or when we share the gospel with other folks, it's motivated out of love. Out of love for them. Love for them in the sense that we want them to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved and to spend eternity with the Lord and with us in glory someday. And it's a sense of love that motivates us to share Christ, to swallow our pride, not to be ashamed of the gospel, to be bold, to be courageous. And that's just one example. Everything we do as believers can be motivated, fueled, and even energized by our love for them, whether it's forgiving others, whether it's being kind to others, whether it's helping others. And it doesn't matter if those others are born-again Christians or not born-again Christians. Whoever it is, when we demonstrate love to others, we do it because we demonstrate love for the Lord God most of all. And that's what he did. He showed his love to us and to this world through his son, Jesus Christ, amongst many other ways and many other things, but mostly and thankfully through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. So love is an important topic. That's the point. And we talked last week, or I mentioned this last week, in regards to my own love, the way that I love others. Could I do better? Could I love them more sincerely? Could I love them more? Could I love others or more people? And the answers to those questions, for me anyway, is yeah, I think I could do a little bit better. And so this hopefully will help motivate not only me, but all of us, just to examine our hearts and to see, how do we love others? And what does that love look like? Is God pleased with the way that I love others? And if there's growth that can take place in my life, if I can learn to love, to forgive, to show kindness and mercy and grace, if I can do better at that, that so I should. And so it's a good challenge for us, a good exercise as Christians to sort of examine ourselves and to say, am I loving the way that God wants me to? So that's the point of this little series on our sevens. So let me pray, and then we'll go ahead and take a look at loving our neighbors and see what that looks like this evening. Father, we thank you, God, for each one that's here. Lord, it's so good to be able to spend the day together, Father, with believers and in your presence as we worship. Thank you for Sundays. It's nice to have a day where we can sort of reflect on your goodness to us. We are thankful today as we have remembered throughout the morning and throughout the afternoon. Thankful, Father, for all that you do for us. Even as we continue to sing tonight, Father, so many things to be thankful for. Lord, we pray for the church. Many are in some way struggling, God, and we think of them tonight. Our heart goes out to those who are dealing with health issues and concerns about health issues and a concern for loved ones that have health issues. So, Father, we think of them tonight. We think of others that are grieving, Lord, and we pray for them. And so, God, there's many out there that are struggling in some way. And Lord, we ask that you would minister to those needs tonight. Use us if you, Lord, see fit, even throughout this week and the days ahead, if you would have us to be the answer to these prayers for others in some way, to be an encouragement to them, to help others in some way. Lord, then help us to understand that, help us to know and to be faithful to answer those prayers according to your leading, to be loving to others. So God, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word tonight. And as we take a look again at this topic of love, teach us, God, what you want us to know. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So again, the main topic or the main point is, do I love others as much as I can, or is there room for improvement? And the answer to that question, again, as I said, is yes. For me, there is room for improvement. We looked last week at the idea of loving God and being able to demonstrate that love for God. I guess we talked about three different ways we can demonstrate our love for him: through obedience, loving others, and hating evil. And it starts with loving God with everything you have. When I can love God with everything I have, with all my might, whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. I better slow down or else you guys are going to think I'm speaking in tongues tonight if I get too mixed up or another language. But that's really the key to loving others. Or the second point this evening is loving our neighbors. The key to loving our neighbors is first loving God. And when we love God the way that we should, when we love God the way that Scripture commands us to, then I believe what will follow out of that love for God is a love for others and a love for our neighbors. And let me take a look here. Let's look together at Matthew chapter 22. It tells us as much, starting in verse 37. We looked at this last week in regards to loving God. It says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the reason why it's the great commandment, because if you can abide by this, if I obey this commandment to love God with everything I've got, then I'm going to, as a default of that love, love others as well. Because I can't love God and despise others. I can't love God and be cruel to others. I can't love God and not love others. The love of God will fill me and I'll pour that love out. It should be a natural reaction as time goes on, as we grow in our faith. Then there should be a natural spiritual or spirit-led love, and we react in that love. Now, we don't always, and God points it out from time to time to me that I can do better. And so we check ourselves, we confess any unloving words or thoughts or deeds, and we do better, and we learn to love others the way that God wants us to. The second thing I want to share just quickly is it says in verse 39, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But bear in mind, this is a commandment. Thou shalt love thy God. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. We understand the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. We understand those as commandments because it says thou shalt not. But just because we don't see the word not doesn't mean it isn't a commandment. God says, on the other hand, thou shalt love God with your heart, soul, and mind and strength. And thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. So it's important for me to understand that this is not a suggestion. God is not saying, you know, maybe if you loved others a little better, you'd be happier. It's not about that. It's not even about my happiness. It's about obeying God. And of course, happiness will be a side effect of obeying God. But it is about keeping his word, about following him and obeying his commandments. Remember, one of the ways that we demonstrate our love for God is to what? Obey him, to keep his commandments. And when we do that, it demonstrates that we love him. Following the first great commandment is the second one that's like it, that says, love your neighbor as yourself. Here's the two birds with one stone concept I mentioned last week, is when I love my neighbor as myself, then I am also loving God with my heart, soul, and mind. And so we can accomplish both of these, as the Bible tells us in verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. And when we accomplish this, when we love God with everything, when we love our neighbors, then we will obey God in all these other areas of our lives. And we'll see that here. Let's take a look at a couple of verses this evening. Romans chapter 13, if you would. Romans chapter 13. Sometimes I share references, by the way. My wife reminds me that it's a little too quick, so she doesn't always get them. I want to share a few other references, and we won't turn to these other references tonight because they say the same thing. But it's just to demonstrate that this is a concept that is a biblical concept. It's not a one-off concept to love our neighbors. It is a biblical concept to do that. And whether you're talking about the Good Samaritan or whoever you're talking about, there's many examples in Scripture. We can see this is clearly a biblical concept. But in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, in James chapter 2, verse 8, Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, and here in Romans chapter 13, verse 9 and 10, it tells us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Let's take a look here at verse 9 of Romans chapter 13. It says, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet." We understand, as I just referenced, these are the Ten Commandments, and these are being reiterated here in the book of Romans, at least some of them. These commandments, though, it's interesting, all boil down to demonstrating love to our neighbors. It says, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, if you love your neighbor the way that you're supposed to, if you love your neighbor the way that God commands us to, the way that God commands me to, then if I do that, I will obey or be obeying these other commandments. For example, I can't love my neighbor the way God wants me to and commit adultery. I can't love my neighbor the way that God has commanded to and kill. I can't love my neighbor and steal from them. I can't love my neighbor and bear false witness or lie about them or be deceitful with them. And I can't love my neighbor and covet and be jealous and be envious over them. And so the Bible says that if we are loving our neighbor, then again, by default, it will help us do these other things, abide by these other commandments. If I love my neighbor, I won't kill them. I know that sounds silly, but essentially that's what we're being told. If I love my neighbor, I won't steal from them, right? And that makes sense. That's very, not only is it true, but it's very logical, absolutely. And it's hard to love those that mistreat us. And it's hard to demonstrate love if we mistreat others. And so that's the reason why we're being told to love others as thyself, it says. Verse 9, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's interesting when you think about the word neighbor. Verse 10, let me read it. It says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That's as we just read in verse 9. But who are our neighbors? I jotted down in reference to our neighbors, at least for this little study. Our neighbors are those around us, those in our communities, those who live down the street, across the road, those who work at the corner stores and the grocery stores and the convenience stores that we run into and even recognize. These are our neighbors, those around us. And again, for the purposes of our little study here, I'm going to refer to these different folks around us as our neighbors, essentially loving those in our community, loving those around us. And the kind of love that God wants us to show to them is the same kind of love that he shows to us or that he shows to our neighbors. Jot it down also, how do we love them? How do we show the kind of love that God wants us to our neighbors? Well, there's lots of different ways. We care for them. We provide when we need to or when we can. And essentially, the best thing to remember is we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. It's interesting, in every one of those references I gave you, it says not just to love your neighbors, but it always says love your neighbors as yourself. So God knows if he points out how to love our neighbors, it will help. So God says, here's how you love your neighbors. Love your neighbors like you love yourself. And so I can, well, do I love myself? Well, I kind of do, actually. You know, I like to feed myself. I like to clothe myself. I like to buy myself nice things. I like to comfort myself and entertain myself and be nice to myself and, you know, have a little pampering from time to time. And so, you know, as an example, I love myself in those ways. No one loves me more than me except for God. And it's amazing that he does, knowing how much I love me. And yet God still loves me more, and I'm thankful for that. But because God knows how much I love me, God says, now love your neighbor like you love yourself. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. Think about that phrase for a second. Do I demonstrate that kind of love to the community around me? Do I love them as much as I love myself? And if I'm being honest, it's not always easy to demonstrate that kind of love, but when there's an opportunity to, there may be moments when I could say, I've not demonstrated that kind of love. I've been frustrated with other people, or I've demonstrated that frustration. I wanted to get ahead of the line, or I wanted to be the first, or I wanted to be the one that got what he wanted, and I didn't care or wasn't concerned about what other people got, or that they were left out in the cold, or whatever example you want to use. The point is that I tend to love myself more than my neighbors. I want my own wants to come first before those behind me. And this is the opposite in regards to the instruction that God gives to us. How do we love our neighbors? Well, we love our neighbors by showing them kindness. We offer them a simple smile, a wave, a hello. We do things for others that maybe they wouldn't expect us to because it's not normal. I can remember many examples of people showing us love and kindness. And God has been so good to us, and we see his goodness through the lives of others. And it's been neighbors around us who have really demonstrated love. I can remember we had some international students. They were living with us. We were going canoeing one day, and girls were helping put the canoe in the back of the truck, kind of helping me out before I get outside to help them. They were going to surprise me, and I came out to a broken back window and a canoe in the back seat. So anyway, I was like, okay, well, that's fine. And windshields are expensive, plastic not so much, so I taped up the plastic on the back of my Tundra, and no big deal. We went out canoeing, and about a week or two later, I came home one day from wherever we were, and we were in the car, and there was a rear windshield for my Tundra sitting in the driveway with just lean up against the garage. No note. Nobody ever told me who gave me this rear windshield. Nobody owned up to it, but somebody, one of the neighbors who drove by, saw that my windshield was broken. Maybe they heard, I don't know, but they provided me with a windshield. Got some help, and somebody helped me put it in, and I was very thankful, and I praise the Lord for that. Another time I showed up, and I had a whole great big basket of lobsters, fresh lobsters. Actually, it was a freezer, a little cooler of lobsters, and somebody who, there's lots of lobster fishermen in the Pugwash and Tatamagush area, and somebody wanted to be a blessing to my family, so they dropped off a great big pile of lobsters, which I am highly allergic to. Yeah, but they didn't know that, that's what the rest of the family said. So the girls, they had what a feed, and I think there were some family members there that day, and everybody had this great big feed of lobsters, and it was because of the love of a neighbor. You know, there's things that we can do that are intentional, that cost us a little bit, but they demonstrate love in a way that people say, wait a second, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Why would they go above and beyond to that degree? And the answer, Lord willing, is it must be because they're a Christian. That's the point. That's the reason why we go above and beyond. We go the extra mile. We turn the other cheek because we want them to notice something different. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. We want to demonstrate that love to others around us. And so we do these kinds of things. There's lots of ways that we can show love to those around us. And the love of God is, in my opinion, the best love that we can show. I can remember we lived down, actually it was many years ago, in Point Park. Caleb was just a little fella. And he came in the house one day. I was in the kitchen or whatever I was doing. He came in. He was crying. He was upset, sobbing, you know, doing all one of those. And he said the man in the other yard yelled at him and said he wasn't going to give him his ball back. Well, I was still a young fellow at that time, a young father. And so I was going to go out there and take care of whoever that was picking on my little boy, and down the stairs I went. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest, this is how it went. The whole time, I can tell you right now, as the moment that I decided to put my shoes on and head out to the backyard to see if this fellow was still around, the Holy Spirit started. Tim, this isn't loving. Tim, calm down. Tim, this is not, you're not handling this well. Tim, this is the bad attitude. Tim, this isn't going to go well for you, the whole time. And I ignored that Spirit's conviction. Anybody else ever do that? Please say yes, yes, okay, good. And it's not, it wasn't my wife, it was the Holy Spirit, although they're very similar in a lot of ways. The Holy Spirit was convicting the whole time, and I can remember it was I couldn't ignore it. And I knew that God was speaking to me. Now I'm walking across the yard, and I've got the tough guy look on, and there's the neighbor on the other side of the fence, and he's standing there, and he sees me coming. And because my son ran away crying, he kind of expected it, I believe. And so he sees me coming, and I can tell by the look in his face that he's like, oh boy, what did I do? Here we go. And thankfully, in those last three or four steps, the Spirit got a hold of me, and I just humbled myself and yielded. And the first thing that came out of my mouth was, hey, look, sorry about that, that my son was messing around there and threw his ball in your yard, however I said it. But I remember opening with just softness and humility against my will, by the way. I did not want to do that because I could have taken that guy. He wasn't that big. But seriously, I remember, it was bizarre, I was outside of myself in a sense, listening to my reaction, knowing that it wasn't what I wanted, but it was what God wanted. Now, here's what followed. The man came over to the fence, and he was shaking his head kind of at himself, saying, no, that was my fault. I overreacted. He said, I'm just having one of those days. Never met the guy yet in my life. We were neighbors, but we never met each other. And then we started to talk. And he shared with me that he had got some difficult news about his wife dealing with cancer. And he just shared that with me. And he shared that with me on purpose. This gentleman wanted me to know there was a reason why he was so frustrated and why things were bothering him. And so he shared that with me. And I shared with him that I was a Christian and that we would be praying for him and praying for his wife. And we ended up giving them a tin of fudge and a gospel tract and invited them, I believe, to one of our Christmas cantatas here. This is how long ago it was. I can't remember if him and his wife came, but I remember thanking God for helping me to respond to my neighbor in a loving way. So instead of sharing my own vehement hatred or bitterness or anger or pride, instead that man got to experience the love of Christ in a way that I think he appreciated. And then when I gave him that gospel tract and that tin of fudge, he received it willingly. Now, this was 22, 23 years ago, I don't know. Chances are pretty good that his wife has passed. Perhaps he has as well. I don't know. And I don't know where they are with the Lord, but I know that God worked it out, that I was able to give them a gospel tract, and we were able to invite them to church and share our faith a little bit with them. And I couldn't have done that if I had went out there and shot off my mouth. I couldn't have done that. And when I could have burnt that bridge and said, I don't care. I'm going to be mad at this neighbor. He's going to know it forever, and I'd have been right even. But it's better to be righteous than to be right. And it's hard to do that, especially when you know you're right or you think you're right. But always better to be righteous. Amen? To demonstrate that humility and that love, that is far more powerful. Proverbs says a soft tongue breaketh a bone, and by long forbearing is a prince persuaded. You can do more with patience and humility and a soft tongue than you ever can with might, right? Instead of raising our fist in hate, we need to bow our heads in prayer, and God can do so much more with that than he ever can with muscle and grit and all the other stuff that we sometimes like to add. Loving our neighbors is not always easy. And especially in today's world, we disagree with a lot that we see around us. And we look around, we see kind of the world is going in every different direction. The world is doing what the Bible says it's going to do. It's doing that which is right in its own eyes. Every man is going his own way, and we can see that. And it can be easy not to want to love them because of the sinfulness. But the sinfulness, though it is an issue, is still not keeping the Lord Jesus Christ from being willing to save them, and so it shouldn't keep me from loving them. And when we do, it demonstrates the love of the Lord. So we love our neighbors, and as I mentioned, like ourselves, and we don't compromise. I mentioned at the beginning of this that this is the kind of love that we can offer without compromising, and it's hard to do that. It's hard to offer love in a world that is doing so many things that we have to stand against. How do you love someone that is openly living in sin in some way, shape, or form? Well, we don't have to compromise, but we can still love. And God will provide those ways to show that kind of love, kindness, and that grace, and that soft-spokenness. Again, it's not about being right, but about being righteous. So we are learning and continuing to learn to love our neighbors the way that God wants us to. And I believe that the Lord will bless us with every effort we make. And we don't compromise. We don't try to impress or deceive our neighbors or take advantage of our neighbors. We're not interested in them being entertained by us or being our best pals, so we compromise our faith and maybe we indulge in sinful things so our neighbors will like us or think well of us. No, we don't compromise. We just love them. We love them the way that Jesus did. What did Jesus Christ say to the woman that they brought before him? They took this woman, they threw her down, caught her in adultery, they said. Now what should we do with her? The law says, Moses said, she should lose her life. What do you say? And we know that they were trying to trick the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's not going to fall for that or anything. And by the end of that little episode, as each one of those individuals left, because he who was out sin cast the first stone and every one of them had to leave, but then he showed a kindness to that woman. He said to her, neither do I condemn thee. And I bet he said that with as much compassion and meekness and sweetness as he could. But then he also said, go and sin no more. You know, that's the truth of it. And we can speak the truth in love without compromise. We can tell the world around us that, no, this is not for me, and this is why. And we can do it in a way that is loving and gracious. Now, sometimes it doesn't matter. Sometimes they're still going to be offended. It doesn't make a difference what we say or how nice we say it, because they're opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we talked about a couple of weeks back. But that doesn't relieve us of our responsibility to love the way that the Lord has asked us to. So we love our neighbors the way that we love ourselves. Thirdly, we love God, we love our neighbors, and then we love one another. John chapter 13, please. John chapter 13. One another. Who's the one another's that the Bible talks about? Well, I believe the one another's are you and I. As believers, we love one another, other Christians. You know, I've heard a lot of things, and I've said these kinds of things before, just to be transparent. Some of the worst hurts we ever experience, unfortunately, are from other Christians. Now, I see some heads shaking. We've all probably experienced that. And I believe the reason why that hurts the most is because those are the ones we love the most. And where there is a lot of love, there is loss. And that's why it hurts so much when one of our family members within the body of Christ somehow hurts us or offends us or somehow our relationship is broken. It really hurts. And it's not an easy thing to get over sometimes. But the Bible has provided us with ways that we can get back to a loving relationship, even with one another, because we're going to offend each other. We're going to make a mess from time to time. That's what Christians do in marriages and in relationships and siblings and church friends and best friends and all that kind of stuff. We sometimes say dumb things and do wrong things, and we sometimes are upset with one another, other believers. That's going to happen. But we don't have to be in bondage to the bitterness or the anger or the resentment or the division that those disagreements bring. Once we find ourselves in that predicament, our goal as Christians ought to be to find our way back to a right relationship with those brothers and sisters as best we can. The Bible says to live peaceably with all men as much as possible. And loving one another, other believers, is absolutely vital to a healthy church and, I believe, to healthy relationships with one another. Look at verse 34 and 35, please, of John chapter 13. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. So again, as I said before, in regards to loving our neighbors and loving God, we are commanded. Here we see it again. The words even, a new commandment I give unto you. This is, again, not a suggestion, not an idea that the Lord is kind of throwing out there. Give this a try. He's saying, this is a command. The captain of our salvation, the Savior of our souls, the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, the Son of God, is commanding us as believers, followers, disciples of Christ. He's commanding. Now, we're soldiers, and he's commanding us that we love one another. And then he adds a little phrase that gives us a bit of a bar. This is, how much, Lord, should I love others? How much should I love my brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, he says this next, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, the Lord isn't going to ask us to do something that we are incapable of doing. It's not true, and it's just an excuse for me to say, well, you're the Son of God. You're perfect, so nobody can love like you. So I'm not going to expect that from myself. I'm just going to love like me, and you'll be okay with that, God, because you know I'm imperfect, and I'm a sinner saved by grace. That sounds okay, except that's not what it says. It says, I'm going to command you, or he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That tells me that I am capable of loving others the way that Jesus loves me. And the reason why we're capable of that is because the Spirit of God, Christ, the Spirit of the Lord, dwells within us. And so we have that power from on high, the Bible says. We can love like the Lord Jesus Christ loves. We can love others like he loves us, but we have to yield to it. We have to yield to him. And that is not always easy, I'll tell you. When you get offended, if you're like me anyway, you get offended, you get upset. I don't know how many times I've been in a cranky mood and I've argued with myself. Why are you in this mood? Why don't you just smile and forget about it and move on with your day and enjoy it? Instead of just stewing in this little cranky, you know, war you're having with yourself. It's that flesh that we battle. And the Spirit is there rooting us on, cheering us on. Come on, just give in to me. Submit to me. Humble yourself. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Do it my way, the Spirit would say. And not only will that bring some cheer and some joy to others, right? If I'm not barking and growling and being angry and bitter and hateful, they're going to be better off. But I'm going to be better off. You know, anger and bitterness, I shared this Thursday night, right? You might remember. I think I confused everybody. Hopefully I don't confuse everybody here tonight. But anger and bitterness hurts those who haven't hurt us, not the ones who have. Does that make sense? So sometimes somebody will offend me or hurt me, or maybe, and it may be just cruel, just say something that's outlandish or mean-spirited or whatever. Maybe it may be a genuinely wicked thing that they did against me. And then I'm angry now, and I'm offended, and I'm hurt, and I'm bitter. And then I allow that anger to fester and that bitterness to fester against another individual, maybe another Christian, as we're talking about. And I allow that to fester, and I hang on to it instead of simply submitting to the Lord and allowing him to have his way and loving others despite what has happened to me or what they've done to me. I'm kind of losing my train of thought here where I was going, but let me share this here. 13 times this phrase is used in the New Testament. Actually, that's a ballpark. It's probably a little bit more than that. But 13 times we see the phrase, love one another. How many of us have heard a preacher say before that if the Bible repeats something, it's what? It's important. That's right. Let me just share a few verses here. I have these if anybody wants them at the back door. These things I command you, that ye love one another, John 15:17. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. 1 John 4:12, 1 John 3:23, 1 Peter 1:22, 2 John 1:5, Romans 12:10, John 13:35, 1 Peter 3:8, and over again we see that phrase, and even variations of that phrase, love one another. Over and over and over again, the Spirit of God moved that we would read in the Word of God, love one another, love one another, love one another. And that works on me when I'm angry at one another or when I'm bitter towards one another because I'm being disobedient to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the freedom from that bitterness, the hatred that hurts those who haven't hurt me, is to choose to love others, to forgive others, and to allow the Lord to lead and to work. So the phrase love one another is 13 times, again, minimal, represented in Scripture. I jot it down here just as we begin to wrap it up this evening. The division, the infighting, the selfishness, the backstabbing, the gossip, the hatred, the envy, the jealousy, and all of these things that plague the world. The organizations, you know, we hear about it all the time. Sometimes you'll turn on, you know, the news, some other country, and they'll be throwing shoes at each other, or the politicians will be jumping over the seats and fighting, or we'll hear about a brawl that broke out at a hockey game, or a fight that, you know, took place down the street, or whatever. There's all kinds of this stuff in the world around us. We know that. Again, all of these things we can see. Division, infighting, selfishness, backstabbing, hatred, envy, jealousy. And we see that it plagues the world. And people are on all kinds of self-help things and seeing counselors and moving on with their life and doing everything they can to try to fix problems that are often caused by these other issues I mentioned. But these things that plague the lost or plague the world should not plague the church. They should not plague the believers. And we have to be careful to be diligent not to let those things creep into our lives. And if I notice that bitterness or hatred or anger against another believer is prominent in my life, then I'm in trouble. I need to do something about that. I need to deal with that. It's not always easy, but the Lord will honor and bless when we do. Jot it down also in regards to loving others. The Bible uses the phrase one another a fair bit, and I'm just going to share these quickly again because we're a little low on time. The Bible tells us to put up with one another, to carry one another's burdens, to protect one another, to forgive one another, make peace with one another, edify one another, receive one another, care for one another, serve for one another, wait for one another, prefer one another, honor one another, don't judge one another, bear one another's burdens, be kind to one another, admonish one another, comfort one another, exhort one another, consider one another, speak not evil of one another, grudge not one another, confess your faults to one another, pray for one another, use hospitality to one another, and be subject to one another, etc., etc. There are many one another's in the Bible, so we have lots of instruction as to how to love one another. And these are just some of the ways. Let's look at a couple more here. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, please. We'll look at just a few references here as we finish this third point. Philippians chapter 2, I think we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. You'll know the reference anyway. But here are some tips. What do I do when I'm having a hard time loving one another? Another believer, another individual, another brother or sister in Christ, if there's bitterness, if there's anger, if there's maybe even hatred, if I find myself just frustrated and angry because of another individual, then again, the Spirit of God is going to be convicting me to forgive and to show kindness, gentleness, meekness. But here's some things we can remember. Philippians chapter 2, 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Often the conversations that end in frustration are because individuals are looking for vainglory or to be right instead of righteous. It says, don't do that, but instead, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It's great advice. And imagine if we all did that. Just everybody was loving others like they love themselves. If I was esteeming others higher than I was, or than I am, and they're esteeming me higher than themselves, then we're going to get along pretty good. If I'm looking after you and you're looking after me, and this is, I believe, the principle or the point behind what Philippians is teaching here. And when we do that, it helps. But lowliness is a big part of that. Humility, meekness. Again, it says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And we don't look at our own needs. We look on the needs of others. Look also at Colossians chapter 3, please. Another little bit of advice here, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Sometimes I've said, I can't put up with that individual anymore. Well, God says, too bad. Figure it out. Put up with them. Forbear them. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. You know that the Lord would literally say, if I came to the Lord and said, Lord, I can't put up with that individual anymore. God would say, we'll do it anyway. That's the right thing to do. How many times would God say to me, I can't put up with you anymore? How many times in my life would God, if he was honest and if he wasn't who he is, if he just showed up and said, yeah, I'm all done, I'm tired of you, I can't put up with you anymore? I mean, countless times God would have to say that, and it would be true. There are days I can't put up with myself, so I know that would be true for the Lord. And yet we're being instructed here to put up with one another, to forbear one another, and then forgive one another. Forgiveness is the key. The Bible says that it's the reason why we are showing love, or one of the ways that we show love, forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We talk about charity following in the next verse. So the instruction here is simple. If you're having a hard time with another Christian, then forgive them. If they've offended you, forgive them. And this is how we show love. If you have any quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In true forgiveness, love will follow. If I genuinely forgive somebody, a brother or sister in Christ, then I'm going to genuinely show them love. Let's do a couple of more here just quickly. Go to Romans chapter 12. We'll close here in Romans. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 10. There's all kinds of things here in chapter 12 that you could look at. But verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And that phrase again, in honor, preferring one another, carries with it the same idea of esteeming others higher than myself. When I'm concerned with my own wants and my own needs and my own ways and my own, you know, ideas, then I'm not preferring others. I'm preferring myself. But instead, we look to one another, we prefer one another, we forbear one another. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Some more advice. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Stop doing that, Paul says. Don't judge one another anymore. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We are instructed in other places as well not to judge one another. Instead, we take a look at ourselves, and as Gary sometimes says, when I point one finger this way, there's three more pointing back at me, right? So we judge ourselves. We don't judge one another. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. It says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. So there's a lot of advice in Scripture. Galatians chapter 5, 13, Galatians 6, verse 2, and on. Lots of advice as to how we can love and edify and forbear and put up with one another. And nowhere in Scripture will we see the Lord directing us to despise or to hate or to be unwilling to forgive. It's always the opposite. And it's not always easy to do that. But it's the way in which we demonstrate the love of God to the world around us. If we can't love one another, then it's pretty hard to convince the world that we love them. That's about as frank as I can put it. And I'm speaking in general terms, of course. But just in general, as a Christian, if I can't love others around me, then it's pretty hard for me. It's going to be hard for me to convince them that the Lord loves them or that I love them as a Christian. But if I demonstrate that love to my brothers and sisters in Christ, and the world's watching me and they see, wow, you really do love each other, that might be something that I want to be a part of. That might be something I'm interested in considering and thinking about and talking a little bit more about. And so it's our love for one another, as the Bible says, that demonstrates the love of God to the world around us. Bible says that they will know that we are his disciples by our love for one another. Anyway, just a few more thoughts on love, and I appreciate your attention this evening. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the day, for your love for us. And Lord, we are learning and growing always and all the time. I know I am in my own life, how to love even more, how to love more like you love us. And Father, we believe that's the point. We've not succeeded. Even Paul said he had not yet attained that place of perfection, perfect love. The Lord, Neither have we, and so we continue to strive to be every day more and more like Jesus Christ. And oh, how he loves us, Father. We are instructed and commanded even by him to love others as he loves us. And so, Lord, help us to do that. Help us, Father, to humble ourselves. Help us, Lord, to put away pride and anger and bitterness. And, Lord, even to be willing to, Lord, suffer in some way if it means that we can instead have peace and demonstrate love. We thank you, God, for your great love for us and certainly for our Savior who did suffer to demonstrate his love for us. We thank you, God, again for the day, and we are grateful for what you're doing in our lives and in our church. And, Father, we just pray you would use us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.